Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, if you're a Christian parent or you've just worked with children at all, have you felt that intimidation that wells up in your heart and in your head when you think that I need to somehow convey the deep truths of the Bible to children? You think, well, wait a second, this is theology, and even some adults are intimidated by the word theology. How am I now going to be able to take that theological content that we find in the Word of God and convey that to either my own children, which I, of course, have a responsibility to do, or in other venues such as in the church and working with children to be able to convey that type of information to others, to other people's children? Well, there's a new book that's been released that is designed to help us do that. The book is called Theology, not theology, but Theology. It's broken up into two words. And the subtitle of it, as I saw it when it first came across my desk, said, Children Can Understand the Deep Truths of the Bible. And theology comes to life in this new book from acclaimed children's author Marty Marchowski. And Marty joins us today to talk about that book. Marty's been on the broadcast before, but let me just tell you that he is the family life pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, where he has served on the pastoral staff for over 20 years. He's the author of Gospel Story for Kids series, as well as an Advent devotional and curriculum entitled Prepare Him Room. I think that goes along with the song Prepare Him Room as well. We just sang that this past Lord's Day as we started to turn our attention towards the incarnation of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Marty, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks so much for having me back, Kevin. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I did. Just a blessed time. We had regular family members, all that could make it anyways. And then we had a couple of other students that were in, there's a place called the Evangelical Institute here in Greenville. And some of those students that are in from all over the world, don't go home sometimes for our holidays. And so we had a couple of those from Canada over in our home. So we had a wonderful time of fellowship together.
Oh, that's great to hear. We actually had a Japanese student in our home. It's very similar. So I think it's great to be able to reach out in the holidays.
Yes, and one thing that that struck me about that event that's closely related to your book is the home was filled with children. I forget what we had, but up 10 or more in the home. Mm. And so children were everywhere. And so you had all these believing parents and all these children, and your book couldn't be any more timely to come during a time like that. As I mentioned in the intro, the thought of picking up a book on systematic theology, I like to read Lewis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology, but the thought of picking that up can be overwhelming for adults. Why write a book on systematic theology for children?
Yeah, you'd think I was crazy to think that kids would be able to understand theology, not alone systematic theology, but when you break it down on its most basic level, theology is really the study of God. It's just learning about God. It's a complex, big word that really means something simple. And so what I tried to do was put together a book that I could step by step, that's where the systematic word comes in, step by step teach children about God and how he relates to his people. That's really all that it is when you boil it down to its basic message. And I tried to make it simple enough that parents could just pick it up, read it with their children, and all those important truths about God we want them to know could be passed along.
Mm-hmm. The real key seems to be, and obviously this is where your giftedness is, to take these complex biblical topics that even it seems, you know, that some adults struggle with. I'm thinking of things like the atonement and so forth. But to take some of these complex biblical topics and then write about them in such a way that you don't have to, for lack of a better term, dumb down the content, but yet still make it accessible to children. So there's where the real trick is, right?
Well, I think that's true. And I had a lot of help by my illustrator, Andy McGuire, who just put together some of the most fantastic illustrations to draw children in. And then adding to that word pictures, illustrations, and analogies, the goal is to try to help people understand theological concepts by talking about everyday things that they come into contact in their normal lives.
Mm-hmm. You say, too, that the idea of teaching our children about God or theology, we do that every day in all of the actions, words and actions that we share. Can you share a couple examples of what that looks like for you as a parent of your children?
Well, sure. Let's just take going outside, for instance. The creation is all around you. And you might even say, oh, look at the pretty sunset, or look at those beautiful flowers. It isn't that much more complicated of a step to make that comment a theological one. Look at the beautiful flowers that God created. Look at the beautiful sunset that God gave us today. You've just turned your comment that is just a normal everyday comment into a theological comment. And so everyday life gives us the opportunity to talk about God. I mean, another example might be you're watching a TV program for kids and they've lost something and they say, okay, let's get everybody to help us to find it, but they don't pray. And, you know, there's a lot of TV shows out there that are fairly okay, but they're not going to talk about God. If you simply point that out, what's missing there, kids? What would we do? Who knows where that missing wallet is? Who's in control of all things? And your kids automatically, because they're in a Christian home, they say, God is. That's right. What do you think they should have done? Oh, they should have prayed, Mom.
I think it was R.C. Sproul or another theologian who said that everyone is basically a theologian. It is just there are good theologians and bad theologians. So we're always teaching something, you know, because we named the name of Christ as a Christian. We're always teaching something to our children. It's just are we giving them the right lessons or not, right?
Well, that's true, Kevin. You know, the absence of teaching children about God is in and of itself teaching children the absence of God. And quite frankly, we live in a self-help, do-it-yourself kind of country where everybody's pretty much on their own and feels like they can kind of handle things. We don't have a lot of hardship often, and so we can become very self-oriented. And if you don't stop to think about God, you can go long stretches of time without talking about God. That's why it can be really helpful to have a resource right in front of you that you can access that can help remind you, wait a minute, let's take a few minutes, just 5 or 10 minutes a day, to talk about God with our kids.
You know, I've oftentimes during preaching, and I learned this from the Puritans, but I try to really encourage the congregation to meditate on the Word of God. And there's a couple of different types of meditations that the Puritans were really good at. One, they would take a scripture verse, of course, and then they would muse about it and almost like chewing the cud. You know, they would just think about and roll over that verse over and over and over again, comparing it with other scriptures. And then that way try to squeeze all the spiritual nutrients out of it. But another way was they would take fairly mundane things in this life, and then they would think about scriptural truths that had gone along with them. For instance, when they got out of bed in the morning, the one I was reading, he would, as he was taking off his pajamas and putting on his clothes for the day, he would then think about that he was clothed with the righteousness of Christ and how he had set off his own self-righteousness and so forth. And so they were using things throughout the day as reminders to drive them back to thinking good thoughts about God. That's what you're talking about here in this book as well?
Yeah, in fact, I can give you an example. When we talk about our new life in Christ, the Bible says that we have a new self made to be like Christ Jesus, that we're to put off our old self and to put on the new. Well, that's a very abstract concept. But what I point out to kids in the book is, think of it. You can't put the brand new shoes that your parents bought for you on until you take the old ones off. If you try to put those new shoes on top of the old ones, it's just not going to work. You can't fit your shoe inside the new shoe. You got to take the old beaten up shoes off and put the new shoes on. And so what is the old in our lives that we need to take off? It's the sinful way of living, because God wants to, through a transformed heart, have us to live a new way. But we can't live that new way till we give up the old way. And then Andy McGuire did a great illustration of a basset hound looking at an old torn-up shoe, just signifying, someone took that old shoe off to put their new one on.
Now, Marty, when you teach these in this book, you just don't go directly to the theological content immediately. You decided to use the methodology to talk about theology. You took the word and separated it. Tell our listening audience what the theology, what is that story about? Explain that.
Well, I wanted to create interest in the kids, and so Timothy and Carla stumble upon an abandoned cathedral, an old stone cathedral, and they go into the basement and find a hidden trap door. They go down that trap door, and there is on a table a package wrapped up in brown paper with a string and a little note card that says open and read. And so they open the card up, and the person who wrapped that package left it for someone to find one day. And it is an ancient book called Theology, which of course stands for theology, that has been forgotten in the modern age. People have been so busy with the things of life that they have forgotten theology, and they've put it aside, thinking that it was no more important for them and not important to pass on to their children any longer. And now this young boy and girl have this book, and they ask the question, should we open it? And they say yes. And so they open it and discover these truths, these ancient truths passed down through time from the early church fathers to the reformers, and then from the person who wrote the letter, which is signed Jonathan E., signifying, as you might guess, Jonathan Edwards. And the picture here is to get the kids excited, but it's almost an allegory. We have this wonderful truth passed down from the church fathers through the reformers to us here in the United States by men like Jonathan Edwards. And yet people have turned away from the truth of theology and God's word to enjoy the pleasures of the world. And what I'm saying is we need to rediscover that truth. So there's a hidden message, but also kids love a book that's filled with mystery and discovery. And we provided that for them in the book, Theology.
Yeah, and I don't, you mentioned that some have turned away and gone after the things of the world, which is certainly true. But I think even within the church itself, you know, there just was kind of an anti-intellectualism spirit within the church, meaning that a lot of folks saw doctrine as being dead, or that doctrine divides, and it's just dreary to go through and look at the theology. We just want, you know, the performance. We just want to have a praise band and then, you know, a short little sermonette afterwards. But nothing could be further from the truth. The theology forms the bedrock for our love for God and for our love for others and so forth. And you can't have that apart from understanding the theology that was written in the Word of God. So I'm so glad that you've come up with yet another resource in order to help people to understand, help children to understand that, but help the parents to understand that as well.
You're so right, Kevin. I mean, Paul says this in the first chapter of Romans, that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is power. The truth of God contains power to transform our children. I've not met a Christian parent yet that didn't want their children transformed by the great truth of God's word that centers around what Jesus Christ did on the cross that we might be forgiven. And that is a powerful message that you find all the way through my book, Theology. I want to point them back to Jesus. And quite frankly, if you leave out that truth, then you're going to get kids thinking that they're good enough in themselves and that one day when they die, they're going to get wings and float on the clouds with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're going to bow our knee now or then. Jesus is going to return. He's going to remake this earth into something new without death, without sickness, without sin. And we are going to delight in a creation, much like Adam and Eve did in their day before the fall, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil gone and the tree of life there with its fruit for our taking.
Amen.
We will live forever, delight in Jesus. That's just theology.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I think, that understanding, knowing the truth, the theology that's taught to us in the Word of God, enables us then to be discerning about all of these things that are coming down the pike here in our American society and even across the world. I think that's a missing element, discernment just being, to compare one thing with the other. And people have such a inadequate knowledge about God and His Word and salvation and so forth, that they're not able really to compare very well with all of these other temptations and false doctrines that are being taught in the world today. So I think it's vitally important.
I think you're absolutely right. And I just want to mention one other thing is that the folks at Sovereign Grace Music took each of my chapters and put it to music in an album called Theology that you can get and have your kids memorizing the truths that you read in the songs that they've written. And it's just, I think it's the best children's album I ever heard. It's the same title as my book, Theology.
Interesting. I love it when they give some associated resources like that. I know parents really enjoy that and appreciate that work. Let me ask you, I mentioned, Marty, that you've written these other books that have been very well received. Why is this one of particular interest or a passion for you?
Well, the books that I've written up to this point have been biblical theologies. They have taken the overall storyline of the Bible and helped people, children and parents, see where is Jesus found in the whole story. This, I always felt like, okay, I want to do book. I want to do a biblical theology, and I want right alongside of it a systematic theology, taking the Bible topic by topic and presenting it in a way that kids can understand. And what really excites me about the book is just what a great team Andy McGuire and I made with these illustrations. I think it just has turned out beautiful in the way that it's laid out. And so I'm excited to now, next to the biblical theology that I have in, for instance, the Gospel Story Bible, to be able to put this book next to it and say, yeah, kids Bible showing where Jesus is and all these stories of the Old Testament, and now a systematic theology to teach you all of the important truths about God you're going to need to know.
Hmm. I've got to ask you about the dedication in the beginning of the book. Who's the fella that is mentioned that you dedicated the book to?
Yeah, Carl Rausch is my wife's grandfather. He lived to be 104 years old, and he is the family patriarch. I had the privilege of meeting him just before his death when we got engaged. And here's a guy, 104 years old, whose mind was as sharp as ever and began to quote scripture to us making sure and urging us that we would always leave room for Jesus in our home, just like Mary and Martha did when Jesus would pass by. He would come to their home. And he wrote people amazing letters. People who have received his letters have saved them all and reread them because of their testimony and love for Christ. And so I thought, that's the spirit of this book, telling the next generation about the Lord. And so I actually, in the dedication, included a portion of a letter that he wrote to my wife. He says, "This is your grandpa, an old man of 94 years old, time to go home." Little did he realize he had 10 more years to 104 before he went home to be with Jesus.
What a blessing. We do an evening service every Sunday evening at the Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility, and a lot of the folks that attend there are saints that have just done a great work for God around the world, retired missionaries and theologians. And in fact, John Piper's dad was there in our evening services before he went home to be with the Lord. So just wonderful, wonderful people. And we always love to hear them talk about their lives and their ministry before coming there. And wow, what a legacy. Here is your wife's grandfather, 104 years old. What a legacy he leaves behind, a good and a godly legacy. That's what we all hope for, right?
It really is. And, you know, what parents think is they need to be profound. They need to make a large impact, when in reality what they need is just to be faithful. You know what? You're going to fall off the wagon and miss family devotions for periods of time. Just start again, 5-10 minutes a day. Just be faithful. And you don't need to think of it all on your own. Just pick up a book like Theology and let it guide you through and take your children on a systematic journey through the great truths of God. Faithfulness wins the day over stupendous and amazing, because few of us are stupendous and amazing. We say simple things and we're not even sure if we got it right. But praise God that it's faithfulness that wins the day, because it's God working through us to reach our children.
Yeah, so often, you're right, we fall into that trap of thinking we've got to have this great event, stupendous event or stupendous gift that's going to make Christmas or something better than any other Christmas has ever been. And with a gift, you know, I've had experiences where we spend a lot of money on the gift and the children open it up and they play with the box. With the events, just recently, my daughter called me up and she had decided to take her children to the beach one last time before winter. And they went, and the wind was kicked up at the beach, and really made this unique looking patterns on the sand, and hardly anybody was out there. And I said, you know what, you're going to be surprised, but I bet you that this will be one of the events that the children will remember the most. You see it as being a disaster and it didn't work out right, but you know what, it's probably going to be the thing that they'll remember the most. So related to this, in the book, you know, go ahead and just sit with your children and read them the sections of this book. Sit down with them and just share the gospel. And here's a great tool for you to do that. And believe me, it's going to reap good spiritual fruit in the days to come. Marty, your final word?
I was just going to say, you know what? Putting a book like this under the tree is something your children won't expect, but it's something that they need and will enjoy.
Excellent. Marty, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for putting together another great resource for parents. We really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thanks so much, Kevin, for having me on, and have a blessed Christmas.
Okay, you too, my friend. That was Marty Marchalski, and we've been talking about his book called Theology. It's a play, of course, on the word theology, but it's broken up into two words, theology, and it's Ancient Truths That Are Ever New is the subtitle on the book. I didn't get a chance to list for you all the different sections of it, but it covers all of the subjects that you would typically expect in a systematic theology. I remember my wife had decided to pick up Louis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology, which is not for the faint of heart. And she was reading through it, and Burkhoff likes to quote things in different languages, like in Latin, and he puts the Greek in there and so forth. And so she was going through it and struggling with some of those sections, especially because of the other languages that were being used. And as she was about three-quarters of the way through it and it expressed a little bit of this frustration to me, I said, oh, by the way, I've got a compend of that in the other room, which was only, you know, a tenth the size of the overall book, and kind of just summarized a lot of his arguments that he makes in the book, and to which I got one of those looks. I think every husband knows exactly what I'm talking about. But here's a book, you know, in theology where you can use for children. You know, he talks about the theology of God in the first chapter, the theology of people, theology of sin, the theology of the promise and of the law, the theology of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of adoption into God's family, of change, of the church, of the end times, and the theology of God's Word. All of those are covered in this book. I think it would make a great Christmas gift. And again, this book is published by New Growth Press. I am going to give away one copy of the book as part of the radio program today. Shoot me an email if you want to be entered in to receive that copy. My email address is kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com. And we'll go ahead and select one of the listeners today to receive a copy of that book. We'll have it mailed to you. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org. The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.